I want to preach to you for a little while about the call to behave ourselves, and that's actually in the realm of the government. So I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're looking at one of those passages. This isn't a political message as far as what's going on, because you wouldn't want to know what I have to think, and probably you could figure it out without me telling you, so I don't have to probably do that. That's not where my thoughts are lying tonight. I just want to look at the scripture, because it talks about submitting ourselves, the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake, and unto governors and to them that are sent by him. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse number 13, and we see this call to behave. But I want you to see, as we look at this, this call to behave and be a citizen that's appropriate, it's all coming back to the gospel message. It's all coming back to getting the truth of God's word out to people. We're looking at verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And I preach to you for just a few moments about this, the call to behave as it's given here in the scriptures. I want you to look at the first phrase there, verse number 13, submit yourselves to the every ordinance, to the regulations, the things that are given of man. But then look at why, for the Lord's sake. And some are saying, well, there's a lot of laws out there. I don't even know why they made them. I don't either. But we're not doing it because we agree oftentimes with the people that made them. Some of them are as ungodly as they could be, but we're doing what we do for the Lord's sake. And so you ought to be very, very careful. Scripture is very clear that we obey those laws unless they're contrary to what the Word of God says. Then we ought to obey God in that realm instead of man. That's very, very clear in Scripture. But most of the time, the things that we get perturbed at and the things that we don't want to do are not such that they disobey God or would cause us to disobey the Lord. It's just that we don't like him. And so I want to preach through this passage, and trust will be a blessing. We'll get finished up, get you fellowship some with the children's home on your way out. Brother Daniels told me we've got push pops for everybody on the way out. If you want some of those, we'll have a good time. And then Brother Danny's going to come up as well, and we'll vote on a few things that I think will be a blessing to us as we get into it. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be back in your house. I pray you give us these next moments together. Might we be more like you want us to be, and we'll certainly thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage comes at kind of a timely spot in our history or our time, and that is with all the political things going around, because it's easy for you and easy for me to just want to chuck all of it and forget it. It's easier just to say, well, I don't agree with any of that stuff and just forget all of it. But I'm reminding you of what the status was when God first gave this word to the people there. Remember that Mad Nero was just coming to the throne as this epistle was written. Nero was that wicked, ungodly sort that did all that wickedness and then turned around and blamed the Christians for it. But Rome claimed to be this place that was free for everybody to live and let live and live as they wanted to live. It was claiming to be that free to all. You can be what you want to be. We won't encroach on anything that you want to do. But you've also got to remember that it's Roman law that put Jesus Christ to death. And so that society that says, oh, you can be whatever you want to be, you can be free to do what you want, that's only true as long as you're doing what they want you to do, because it's much like we are in our nation right now. It sounds like modern America. Well, you're free to believe anything you want. That is, until you come and you say, well, I believe in not a religion, I believe in a person, Jesus Christ, and his teachings given in this book. And then all of a sudden, we're going to have separation of church and state, because they're going to say you can't bring that into here. So with all that being said, I want to look at the scriptures and see, make sure that we are where it says we're supposed to be. Because number one, I see in verse 13 and 14, I see the need to submit. The scripture says, submit yourself to every ordinance, whether it's the king as supreme or unto governors and them that are sent by him by God for the punishment of evildoers. Of course, it was better when our nation did a lot more of that, the punishment of evildoers. And a lot of times they don't do that as well as they should either. But we understand there's this need to submit. I've been in churches before, and probably you have as well. Those churches have been claiming that the government is fighting them and encroaching on them and persecuting them by enforcing different codes. Now remember this, the government can't say what is preached from the pulpit. We're thankful that we live in a nation that that's allowed. And if we're in a nation that wasn't allowed, then we should obey God rather than man. We should find a way to get the gospel out, even if the government said it wasn't supposed to be put out. But here we have that right and that freedom, and I thank God for that. But so the government is not fighting a church by enforcing the codes. They don't tell us what we can preach, but they do, and they should tell you how many are allowed to be in this building. It's not right for us to say we're going to pack 3,500 people in this building and stack them on the walls around here because they say, well, that's a violation of fire codes. You understand that a lot of times when people say we're being persecuted, it's not being persecuted. You're being more perturbed, maybe. You're being bothered by what they say, but you're not being persecuted. I find that that's true even with family members. Some teenagers are, well, they aren't letting me do anything. Well, they're enforcing the rules that are needful oftentimes, but we see the need to submit. But I want to tell you not only the need to, but I want you to see why. In verse 13, it says, it honors God for the Lord's sake. And so while you're supposed to be a God-honoring Christian, you're also supposed to be a law-abiding citizen, not because that the government is all so good or always right, but it's for the Lord's sake. And so we're supposed to remember that it honors God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In Romans chapter 13, 1, it says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Why? For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. I know there's a lot of these people in these high places. They're certainly not living for God, and that's right. But God puts up and brings down who He wants. And so we understand that we honor the position that people are in, even if you can't agree with the person. And so we understand that it honors God, and remember that we need to submit because it honors the Lord. You say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, let me ask you this. If you think it doesn't matter how we live, how about I as your pastor? I get arrested for spray painting the county courthouse down in Jonesboro. It's all across the news. And then you're going to say, wait, why don't you come hear our pastor? Now, you're going to have to wait till he gets out of jail. I'd like to think I'd go to jail for preaching the Word of God if it ever came to that, but I don't want to go for tagging the courthouse down in Jonesboro. And so I'm saying these things that when you're a law-abiding citizen, when you're somebody who honors those, it does honor the Lord. Not only that, but look on in verse number 15, it also silences the foolish. The Bible says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So I told you that all that God does, He gets back to getting His word out. And so, my friend, we're on a mission. We're on a mission to get the gospel to everybody who doesn't currently have it. We're going to vote on a few things, both in the States and around the world here in just a few moments for a business meeting. But we're all about getting the gospel. But one thing I know is that we may have the right gospel, but if you live a lousy life and have a horrible testimony, you're not going to be very good at distributing the gospel, because people won't want to listen to what you say because your life stinks so much. And so we see that it silences the foolish. Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. One person put it like this, that great men talk about ideas, good men talk about events, and questionable men talk about people. And when we want to talk about the greatest event in history, the greatest idea, the greatest truth in history, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be involved in. We ought to be those great people that do that. Well, if we want to tell somebody about the gospel, then you sure better live a life that backs up this book, because if you don't, then folks don't want to hear what I have to say or what you have to say. So we see the need to submit. But I want you to look on in verse number 16. The Bible says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. We're free. Meaning in Christ, we have all of this liberty. But the Bible says, don't use that liberty, don't use that freedom as a way to cover up or to bring in disguise your maliciousness, your evil intentions, those things that you are not supposed to be doing. So I see not only the need to submit, but I see that we're living here in liberty. I'm free. You too are in Christ. I'd say that the average person in this room, please don't listen to all that I'm going to say before you judge me on it. I'd say the average person in this room could go and sit in one of these bars downtown and sit there for several hours and probably not take a drink of alcohol. But you shouldn't. Because you're going to be looking at somebody, somebody's going to be looking at you rather, and saying, I thought that guy was a Christian. So just because you have liberty, that's not going to pull you back into hell. I'm still in Christ, even if I was in that place that I wasn't supposed to be. You may be able to do those things, but you shouldn't. Amen. That liberty that God talks about is so wide and so vast as we have it in Christ. But my friend, I do have a responsibility to live in such a way that I don't ruin your opinion, not of me, but of the Savior that I say that I love. Liberty is a wonderful thing, but as liberty is used as a cloak of maliciousness, as a way to say, you can't tell me what to do, I've got liberty. Let me say this, the cry is liberty, and yes, you do have it. Some would say, do you say that I have to come to a Wednesday night service? Well, you know I'm here. I think everybody ought to be here. Yes, I'm just crazy enough to do it. But you say, do I have to come to a Wednesday night service? Do I have to leave off that alcohol? Do I have to leave off that tobacco? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Do I have to stay out of that establishment that you talked about? If you mean, can I do those things and still be saved, then the answer is yes, you've got liberty. But the Bible is very clear that you and I aren't supposed to use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness just to say that I'm going to do whatever I want to do and who cares what it bothers. My friend, I care and we all ought to care who it bothers, because there is a world that we're trying to reach, and your life and the way that you live it is not just so that you won't fall back into some sin that you used to be involved in or maybe never were involved in but you knew you shouldn't be. You're living your life not just so you won't be tempted to do those things. You and I are also living our lives so that we can affect the people who are around us, because our goal is the gospel, to get to them. And so if I'm more worried about, well, what I can do, I have the liberty or the right to do it. If I'm more worried about, well, what's my right? What liberty do I have instead of the gospel? Then I'll find myself in many events and many activities that a Christian should never be involved in, and claiming the whole way, you can't judge me. You can't tell me what I should and shouldn't do. And as a point of technicality, you're right. So we see this liberty that I'm living in, but I'm not supposed to use that as a way just to do as a cloak, as the Bible says, for maliciousness or evil intentions. But instead, it goes on to say at the end of the verse, but as the servants of God. Verse number 17, as I tried to work my way through this passage, I see that it just kind of makes a natural conclusion. It says, as it wraps it all up, honor all men, respect all, some are unlovely. Some are really, the way they're living doesn't deserve it, but honor all men. Here's the bottom line, honor all men. Goes on to say, love the brotherhood. Do you know that you and I are supposed to be nice to everybody out there? You're supposed to be nice to the meanest person that you work with, the grumpiest grouch that you ever have to cross paths with, the one that isn't nice to you on a good day, let alone on a bad day. You're supposed to be kind to them no matter. But then God does put an extra level of command on all of us, as we're supposed to be extra good to those that are of the brotherhood, because we're family of God. We're joined with Jesus Christ. There are many Christians who are loving those that they want to. God doesn't tell us, take a gander and see who you want to love. He says, love the brotherhood. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go on vacation with everybody that's in this church. Doesn't mean you're going to have to, everybody you're going to want to spend a lot of time with. There's lots of preachers that I love them, like the Bible says, but I'd hate to ride from here to Nashville with them. I believe I'd just get out sometime. You say, would you let them? And some of them, I wouldn't even want them to stop the car. Just let me get out where I'm at. But we ought to love the brotherhood. And then it goes on to say, fear God. A healthy dose of fearing God. Brother Robert was talking so well about it just a moment ago as he was getting into some preaching time there as he was presenting. There was a time in our nation when people that went to church and people that didn't go to church were taught to fear God. But we've lost that. Even when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, there were these stickers that boys would put on the back of their car, no fear. And what they meant by that is I can do whatever. And they were meaning it innocently, that they were wild and they were doing all these crazy things. They've got extreme sports and all that. But we took that all the way from that ferocious attitude of, hey, no fear. I'm fearless. I can go do it. We've taken that from activities like daredevil activities and things, and we've taken it into our thought of God. We don't even have a fear of God anymore. Fear God. And then it wraps it up, as we already talked about, honor the King. So please don't think that as a Christian, we can be those ones that badmouth everybody who's in office. Now, you're always free to talk about activities. It doesn't matter. Activities are wrong. Doesn't matter whether I'm doing them or the president's doing them or the county commissioner or whatever. You can preach the Bible all the time. But you and I need to be careful, even if you don't like the candidate, that we don't down the office, because remember, the Bible says that those powers that be are ordained of God. Now, that person may be doing a lousy job that's in there, but I challenge you to be careful as we speak about people, that we make sure that we give reverence to that position, even if we don't agree with that person that's in there. J. Vernon McGee, in a book that he wrote, he says, I've never voted for a presidential candidate whom I really wanted. And this was some years ago. He's been in heaven for a good bit. He said, instead, I've always voted against the other one. So as we get ready to vote here, I challenge you to vote. You ought to, because you're American. You ought to vote. Don't say, I just don't know. I don't know. Well, figure it out. And you say, I don't like either one of them. Well, do what J. Vernon McGee did and figure one, the one you dislike the most, vote for the other one. You say, neither one of them is doing too much close to the Bible. Well, get the one that's furthest away from the Bible, choose the other one, and vote for that one. On a local and a national level. But we see that it wraps it all up. Honor the King. We owe honor to our leader. So tonight, I just wanted to leave you with this. There's a bad habit that sometimes we get into. We are so strong in our beliefs of what a Christian is supposed to do. We're supposed to stand here, here, and here. Well, then we excuse every king, as the Bible said, but every ruler, governor, everybody who's in position, we excuse ourselves about talking bad about them because that person's not living like the Bible says they should live. Well, us as Christians, we've got the extra weight on us to behave ourselves like the Bible says, even when that person, that position, is not behaving themselves like the Bible says to. And so as we think about this, why do we do it? Well, we do it because the Scripture says so. But why is the Scripture says so? So that we can silence the foolish, and because we're honoring the Lord as we do it. So before we all get very big and brash and say, I'm supposed to obey the Lord. Yes, we are. But be careful that that thing that you're talking against is truly falling in the parameters of when the Scripture says that I ought to obey God rather than man. Most of the time, many of the times, when we throw that verbiage around, it's really just something we don't care for. It's not truly something that is against what the Word of God says. Because I really want to reach this community for Christ. I want to reach this town, this city, this state. I want to reach the world. And I can tell you this, if we're living our lives in such a way that nobody listens to us as we proclaim the gospel message, then we are shooting ourselves in the proverbial foot. We are working against the message that we are trying to get. You say, Pastor, I want the gospel to get out, but I ain't living for so-and-so across the street. We are living for so-and-so across the street. We're living for the opportunity to get to witness to them. We're living for the person that's unkind and ungrateful and ungodly. We're living for the opportunity to one of these days see them get saved. And I want us to live that way. These are the ways we ought to behave. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for the time to be in your house. Lord, not an exciting message, but I guess it is because it's your word, but could have been a better presentation. But dear Lord, I pray that you'd settle it in on us. Lord, that everything we do takes its roots back to getting the gospel to people. Please, Lord, help us to live in such a way that it doesn't surprise people when we tell them we're a Christian. Help us to live in such a way that when we offer the gospel message to them, it settles in with them, and really they kind of expected it. Help us to behave in that way, I pray in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? Tonight, maybe God spoke to your heart about some issue in life that you need to deal with within you and the Lord. I challenge you to come. Maybe you've been that one that you've been a rascal in some of these things. You've been pawning it off on your freedom, your liberty. But really, it's just our worldliness sometimes. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure you're saved. I didn't preach on that. But that gospel message that I referenced is the message of Jesus Christ wants to save your soul. If you're here, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe there's something else in your heart. This altar's open for you. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge. We've got a world to reach. We need you. If God's moving on your heart, you come. Thank you. You can look this way. I thank the children's home for being here. I'm going to let you get a chance to meet Brother Robert, Miss Leanne, and the children as well if you choose to. But I'm going to ask you to be seated for just a moment because Brother Danny's going to come.